Chumash in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Masa, gives us the gvulas of Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And it says Eretz Yisrael on the southwestern side goes till Nacha Mitzrayim. The commentaries on the Chumash have two understandings as to where Nacha Mitzrayim is. Rashi understands Nacha Mitzrayim is the Nile. That's quite an extreme opinion. And it's usually assumed, like Rabbeinu Sadia going in his commentary on Chumash, that Nacha Mitzrayim is Vadi al-Arish. Vadi al-Arish is below the Hevav Azah, below Gush Katif. According to the simple reading of the Chumash, the whole section of Eretz Plishtim, the whole Hevav Azah, is part of Eretz Yisrael. In the Tshuvas of the Tzitz Eliezer, one of the early volumes of the Tshuvas, Bava Zion, he discusses this issue whether Azah, Midbar Azah, is part of Eretz Yisrael. He points out that Pasuk in Chumash says it's part of Gvulas Haaretz. And he quotes the Gemara in the end of Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara speaks about why the birds in Bavel are fatter than the birds in Eretz Yisrael. And then one of the Amoraim responds, what are you talking about? The birds in Midbar Azah are much fatter than the birds in Bavel. So Rashi writes in his commentary on the Gemara, and Midbar Azah is part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara assumes with Dava Poshet, and Midbar Azah is part of Eretz Yisrael. There's a misunderstanding as to whether Gush Katif is part of Eretz Yisrael or not. Comes from a parsha. The story in Parshas Toldos, the Chumash tells us that there was Vahira Boaretz Vahira Parishena Shehayah B'mei Abraham. There was a famine in the days of Yitzchak Avinu, and Yitzchak had the practice to follow the Masoira of Avraham Avinu. Everything, that's what the Zohar says. Yitzchak digs the same wells and gives the exact same names. Yitzchak follows everything, the traditions from Avraham Avinu. So when there was a famine, Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. So Vayered Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Yitzchak also goes on his way to Mitzrayim. Then, and it says he went to Geror. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yitzchak and he tells him he's not allowed to go to Mitzrayim, that this is not following in the tradition of Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu was not offered as an oil of Tmima, but you were brought on the Akedah as a korban, and it wasn't a mistake. He was a korban. Yitzchak Avinu was a korban, and if you take a korban chutz l'mekamim, every korban has its makom. The Kachim Kachim, the Mokim is the Azara, the Kachim Kalim, the Mokim is Yerushalayim. When you take a carbon chutz l'mekamai, it becomes Nisal B'yotzei. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Your Mokim is Eretz Yisrael. So he tells him, Gur Boretz Azos, you should stay here. In other words, Gurar is part of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Pasuk continues to say, Vayizra Yitzchak Boretz Ahi, Vayimtza Bashana Hahim Mea Shorim Vayvarchehu Hashem. That Yitzchak lived in there, in Eretz Giror, and wonder of wonders, it grew 100 times more than he expected it to grow. Why did he make a cheshbon? Why was he making a calculation how much could grow? So Rashi quotes the famous medrash that the Rambam quotes in Halacha in Mishnah Torah, that he was making an oimid lemaisis. He was trying to make a calculation to figure out how much maisis he'll be mafresh, and it turned out that it was 100 times more than he thought would grow. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes the Medrash, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi B'yimtza Ba'shana Ahi. There were 2 strikes against them. It was Aretz Ahi, it was Chutz L'aretz. First Rashi says in the beginning that Yitzchak was going to go down to Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, you're not allowed to go to Egypt because you're a korban. Ben Chutz L'aretz Gedai L'cha. You're not allowed to go to Chutz L'aretz. Gur Ba'aretz Azo. Stay over here in Gror. In other words, Gror is Eretz Yisrael. And then 5 psukim later it says, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi B'yimtza Ba'shana Ahi Me'a Shorim. The 2 strikes against him, that it was Chutz L'aretz where he was planting, and it was Bashana Hahi, it was Ashnas Batzoris, there was a famine. And nonetheless, it was a miracle of miracles that 100 times as much Tfuah grew than he expected. So Rashi in his commentary is writing he's quoting all from Midrash. There's a contradiction between the Rashi. So all of the commentaries on Rashi, the Mizrahi, and all the other Mefarshim talk about this contradiction. On the one hand, Rashi says that Gush Katif is part of Eretz Yisrael, then he says Gush Katif is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So there are different suggestions that are given. I saw in Rav Nebenzahl's Sefer on Chumash, there's a very beautiful comment. He quotes the Gemara in the Pashtos. He quotes the Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos, towards the end, in Perik Kokisve, and Afkuf Yutches, or Medalo, going over to Amid Beis. But the Gemara speaks about the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos. The Novi Yishai tells us, the Chibarato, the Karasa, the Shabbos Oinek, there's a mitzvah of Kovet, there's a mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yishai, that one who fulfills the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos will be rewarded. Oz tisana gal Hashem, v'hirkapticha al b'mos li'orz, v'hachaltich ha'nachlis yankav v'vichor, kifi Hashem dibir. That whoever will fulfill the mitzvah of Oynik Shabbos will be blessed with nachlas yankav v'vichor. So what is the significance of nachlas yankav? Yankav Avinu was given Eretz Yisrael, the same Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avram, that was given to Yitzchak. Eretz Yisrael that was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, Yankav, the same Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no. Whoever fulfills Nachlas Yankiv will not only, whoever fulfills Oynik Shabbos will not only be blessed, they will get what was given to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara spelled it out. Kum Hisalach Baruch L'Orkel Roch Baki L'Choy Tinen, I'll give you this land. Yitzchak was given more than Yankiv Avinu. Yitzchak was given more than Avram Avinu. He was given Harot Tzasael. And the Mepharshim say Harot Tzasael is Laman Aleph Melochim. And Yankiv has promised the Farat Tayama V'Kedma V'Tzafayin V'Negba. The Gemara says the Farish that Yitzchak was given more than Avraham, and Yankiv was given more than Yitzchak. So what was Yitzchak given more than Avraham Avinu? So apparently that's where Rav Nevin Salter is. Yes, apparently this is when the change occurred. When Yitzchak went down to Gror, so originally Gror, that whole Hevel Adah, was not part of Eretz Yisrael that was promised to Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu walked Kum Misal Kvaris Lorka Lorach B'Kilucho Atinenu, he only acquired ownership of the inner parts of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have that part. But then when Yitzchak went down, he was going to go to Mitzrayim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. You're an oiler tmimo. You should stay in Eretz Yisrael. But it just became Eretz Yisrael now. He just gave it to Yitzchak Avinu. Originally, it was not part of Eretz Yisrael. So that's where Rashi quotes the next medrash that says, Ayizra Yitzchak Baruch Ahivim Sabashana Ahivim. There were two strikes against them. It was Chutz Loretz from the perspective of Avraham Avinu. It was Chutz Loretz. In the days of Avraham Avinu, this part was not part of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. Yitzchak was given more than Avraham was given. So that's one source of misunderstanding. Why people question whether this area, the Midbar Azah, is part of Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim and Masa, you say, of course it's part of Eretz Yisrael. The misunderstanding is that you see that in the days of Avraham Avinu it was not yet part of Eretz Yisrael. There's another question whether in Gush Katif one is obligated to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of Atiyas Ba'aretz. We have a concept of Kedushas Ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'aretz, that we have to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of Atiyas Ba'aretz. We have to observe the laws of Shmita and Yovel and Leket, Shikha, Peah, and Shumas and Maisvis and so on. So the Gemara points out that in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, the Kedusha, in the days of Avraham Avinu acquired the ownership of Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't yet have Kedusha Sa'aretz. The Kedusha was only endowed to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. When he conquered the land, it took 14 years to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. It took 7 years, Sheva Shekovshu, and Sheva Shechilko. Took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim, and then to the Mishpachas, and then to the Yechidim. And after it was Yishtachas Gapna, Vatachas Teinosa, it was Cholecha Be'echad Makaris Mekoymai. Everybody knew exactly what was his. Then that was the Gemara of the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, and that's when Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha. And starting from the 15th year on, they were obligated to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of Tliyas Boretz. But the first 14 years, after Ovi Yisrael as Ayarden, they weren't obligated to fulfill Trumas and Maisins and Shemitah the Yovel. The first Shemitah was the 21st year, because the first 14 years didn't count. And the first Yovel was the 64th year, because the first 14 years didn't count. The 15th year was year number 1, and the first Yovel was year number 64, and so on. So the generally accepted opinion in the Gemara is that the Kedusha Rishayna, the Kedusha Sa'aretz that was accomplished by Yeshua Ben Nun, by the Kibush Bechiluk, that took the 14 years to be Mekadesh, that Kedusha was Loikit Shilasi Lover. That Kedusha lasted for several centuries, until the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. After the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdosh, the Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha. It was still Eretz Yisrael. It still belonged to the Jewish people. The Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael, but it no longer had the Kedusha. So the Gemara says that it had to undergo a Kedusha Shniyo. So when Ezra and Nehemiah came back, and they brought back Bnei Yisrael from Golas Babel, the Shiva Sion, said they were Kedusha Eretz Yisrael a second time. There was no Kibush Bechiluk the second time. But nonetheless, there was a new method of being Mekadosh. So the Talmud tells us that there were many areas in Eretz Yisrael that Oilei Mitzrayim were Mekadosh. In the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, they were Mekadosh, a larger area of Eretz Yisrael. And the Oilei Bavel, when they came back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were not Mekadosh. So the first Mishnah in Gittin tells us what the Gvulas Ha'aretz are regarding the Kedusha Shniyah. So the Mishnah says, Ashkelon Lidorom, Ashkelon Kedorom. Ashkelon is a city above Hevel Azah. Midbar Azah begins below Ashkelon, if you look at a map. So Ashkelon, the Mishnah says, is the lowest part of Eretz Yisrael that had Kedusha Shniyah, in days of Ezra Nehemiah, and the city Ashkelon itself has the status of Chutz Loretz. So it could well be, based on the simple reading in the Mishnah, it would appear that the whole Hevel Azah is not Mechuyev in Mitzvah Satluyev Boretz. It doesn't have Kedusha Saretz. But just because it doesn't have Kedusha Saretz doesn't mean that it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's still in the Gvul Saretz. In the days of the Amoraim, Rabbi Yechanan, in the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Mehem Beis, is still talking about Midbar Aza. They were having the whole discussion, how come the birds in Chutz Loretz are fatter than the birds in Bavel are fatter than the birds in Eretz Yisrael? And then one of their Amoraim responds, what are you talking about? In Midbar Aza, the birds are fatter than the birds in Bavel. So in the days of Rabbi Yechanan, that's Yechta the Kedusha Shnit, they're still talking about Midbar Aza, that it's Eretz Yisrael. It may be that it doesn't have Kedusha Saretz. But it still is part of Eretz Yisrael. Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Either a mitzvah in Atar, a mitzvah in the Rabbana, whatever. But for sure, there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Feinstein has a tremendous chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik also thought like that. That the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah kiyum. It's not a mitzvah chiyuv. It's not obligated. If you do it, it's a kima mitzvah. Whatever. Others disagree. But there clearly is some kind of a mitzvah or another to live in Eretz Yisrael. No one debates that. Whether minatur, whether rabbon, chiyuv, is kiyum. Does the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael depend on those parts of Eretz Yisrael that have kedusha Eretz Yisrael? In which case, one might argue the point and say that since the opening Mishnah in Gittin tells us Ashkelon is Kidorom, Ashkelon is Chutz Loretz, so below Ashkelon, the whole Hevel Azah, if you should assume it had no Kedusha Shniyah. So perhaps there's no mitzvah to live. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael perhaps is linked up with the Kedusha Saretz, or should we assume not so? Maybe the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is unrelated to Kedusha Saretz. So this is a Machloikis in Rishonim, and the first Mishnah in Gitt, Machloikis Texas in the Ritva. Texas seems to assume that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, is connected with the mitzvah Satluyos Ba'aretz. Those areas of Eretz Yisrael which don't have Kedusha Saaretz, so there's no mitzvah to live there. There's only a mitzvah to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in those areas where there is Kedusha Saaretz. And the Ritva disagrees on the first daf in the first Mishnah Gittin. The Ritva says that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael depends on the Eretz Yisrael that was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. What's the difference whether you're chayv in mitzvah hatluyos barak and you're not chayv in an agricultural mitzvah? Sofkosof, it's still Eretz Yisrael. It's still Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yankov. So that's a detailed question. The Achrayim point out, the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Sotah raises the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire so much to cross over the Yarden? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's desire? But he wanted to have a good time over there, to go swimming in the river, and to eat the pears of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, he wasn't interested in Gashmias. He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah Satluyos Boretz. So many of the commentaries point out, why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What kind of mishaila? Why he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael? So from the fact that the Gemara didn't answer that, the Gemara answers to fulfill the mitzvah Satluyos Boretz, it might perhaps appear, like Taisa says, that it's all the whole Talia, these two are interconnected. The whole mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only applies to those areas of Eretz Yisrael that have Kedusha Saaretz. And you're obligated to fulfill mitzvah Satluyos Boretz. But you say, like the Ritva writes on the first daf in Gittin, that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael applies even to those areas which don't have a Kedusha Saaretz. So what did the Gemara ask? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael with or without mitzvah Satluyos Boretz. So from that, Gemara would appear to support Shitas HaTaisus, that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only applies to those areas that have Kedusha Saaretz. In others, explain away this Gemara in the end of the first Perek and Sotah. How would the Ritva read the Gemara? So that's a trial of whether the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, applies to this Hevel Azah, to the Midbar Azah or not. That's a question. If one should assume that this area, like the first Mishnah in Gittin implied, that this area in Eretz Yisrael was never in the Kaddish B'Kedusha Shniyah, so you don't have the mitzvah Satluyos Boretz applicable in that area. So it could well be that there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. However, there's another mitzvah, which shouldn't be confused. There are many. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. We shouldn't, just because the word Eretz Yisrael appears in 100 mitzvahs, doesn't mean that it's the same definition of Eretz Yisrael. Just like the Ritva says, it could be that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not Eretz Yisrael, HaMekudesh is B'Kedusha Sa'aretz. Even if you don't have the mitzvah Satluyos Boretz, even in the areas which were never given the Kedusha Shniyah, They only had the Kedusha Rishayna, the Ritvosas, and the first daf in Gittin, that there's still a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael there. So there are other mitzvahs in the Chumash which are clearly not necessarily connected with Kedusha Sar. So there's another mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs, to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. Some people think that it's a wild idea. To establish a Medina, a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael, is one of the Taryag mitzvahs of Torah. The Megillah Esther is one of the commentaries on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It was written by a man, and his mother passed away, right as he was going to print, so he wanted to memorialize his mother, so he named the Sefer after his mother, Megillah Esther. His mother's name is Esther. The author's name was not Esther. It could have been Esther also, perhaps that's not. He writes in the first page that he dedicated to the memory of his mother. So the Megillah Esther is the one who understood that this was a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you what he considers the mitzvah Dalet. He quotes the Ramban, develops an idea that there's mitzvah to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillah Esther took it that this is the Ramban's disagreement with the Rambam, that the Ramban considers this a mitzvah to establish a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah. And the Megillah Esther always comes to defend the Rambam. So he defends the Rambam, he gives his famous defense that so much has been written about. He gives the defense, he says the Rambam postulates in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you what he considers are the 14 klolim, the 14 principles that guide him, which mitzvahs belong in the listing of the 613, which don't belong, and which should be counted as one mitzvah, which should be counted as many mitzvahs. Take for example, on Shabbos there are 39 malachas that are forbidden. So the Rambam says he's going to count it as one mitzvah. One mitzvah is loy says and not to do malachi. One could have counted it as 39 averes, not to do charisha, not to do zriya, not to do ktsira. The Rambam says it's one mitzvah. On Sukkot, he brings so many korbanos on musafim. So the Rambam says he counts all the musafim on Sukkot as one mitzvah, and the musafim on Shmini Atzeres is one mitzvah. Because Shmini Atzeres is regular b'snei atzmo. Why don't you count every korban as a separate mitzvah? No, those are the details. So the Rambam has a whole bunch of klolim. What belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs, why not? So one of the Rambam's klolim is, you only include in the minyan mitzvah a mitzvah that applies throughout all the generations. If something is only a hayrosh shor, so it doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvah. So as an example, in Pesach Mitzrayim, there was a hayrosh shor that every Jew had to knock on the next door neighbor's door and ask for matonis. So that din doesn't apply today, didn't apply in the midbar, it's not going to apply. Lossi love was once in the history of the world, on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, for Pesach Mitzrayim, Mishalish and Mishchent, Migoros Basic, Lechesed, Lechlezov, Smolos. They should leave Mitzrayim with Bizus Mitzrayim. They should ask for Matanis before they leave. So the Rambam says he's not going to include that in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the Megillah Esther says he thinks that the reason why the Rambam didn't include in the Minyan HaMitzvah the mitzvah to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael is because the Gemara in the end of Ksubas comments on the Psukim and Shir HaShirim that it's repeated three times. Yishbati Eschem and Rosh Yerushalayim Im Teiru Mitaru Esarabat Shetechpot Sarakodesh Baruch Hu caused the Jewish people to take three Shavuos. Gimel Shavuos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'nai Yisrael. So one of the Gimel Shavuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a spare was that we're not going to force the Yishuv to establish a Medina. So since we learned from the Pesukim Mishir HaShirim that we're not supposed to establish a Medina all the years of the Golos, so you see that it's not a mitzvah Hanoheges L'doiris. So that's why the Rambam felt that it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. That's how the Megillah Esther defends the Rambam. Many Achrayim disagree with the Megillah Esther. They say that it's not correct. Let's say the mitzvah of Hakrovas HaKorbanos has not been Nohei for many, many years, since the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Rambam is going to leave out all the Hakrovas HaKorbanos because it's not Noheges L'doiris. The Rambam counts all the Hakrovas HaKorbanos. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas HaMaisis Bizman HaZeh is only with the Rabbanon, Afilu B'mei Ezra. The Rambam writes it was only with the Rabbanon. So why does he count the mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas HaMaisis? It's also not Noheges L'doiris. Hafrashas Trumas HaMaisis was no heges menator in the days of Yeshua ben Nun till Churban Bayis Risha. Then Lossi Loboi, when we'll have Rabbi Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs of Trumas HaMaisis, Shemitah V'Yovel, will become their rice again. And Bizman HaZeh for almost 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, since the time of Churban Bayis Risha, all of the agricultural mitzvahs have only been with the Rabbanon. So how come the Rambam counts all these mitzvahs? It's not a mitzvah HaNoheges L'doiris. So the answer is that's a mistake. That is a mitzvah HaNoheges L'doiris. It only applies to Doris under certain conditions. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael, which has the correct Kedusha, with all the conditions. So Bizman HaZeh, you don't have it. So that's what Avnei Nezer and many others tying against the Megillah says. It cannot be that that's the reason why the Rambam left out, the reason why the Rambam omitted the mitzvah of HaKomas HaMedina, establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam left it out because it's not the Hegis and the Doris. Because Hishbati Eskim, the Gimel Shavuos. Gimel Shavuos, that's a temporary thing. The Iker Klal is that there is a mitzvah to establish a Medina. And lost in love of the mitzvah will come again. There's a period of time when the mitzvah doesn't apply for various side considerations. So how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah? So the commentaries point out it's a mistake. The Rambam did count the mitzvah. That wasn't the taina of the Ramban. The Rambam in the first line in Hilchos Malachim quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf on the base. Gimel mitzvahs nitzdavu Yisrael b'chnisasim la'aretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. In the correct order, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim is first, Bahamid l'Hamelech, to establish a Jewish Medina, to establish a Jewish government in control of all of Eretz Israel. Secondly, l'Hachriz Darish al-Amalek. And thirdly, Libnas l'Ham Beis Abchir. So that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, nobody disagrees, and the Rambam quotes it in the Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam quotes it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Everybody agrees it's a mitzvah l'Hamid l'Hamelech. Hamid l'Hamelech means to establish a Jewish government. And Eretz Israel, that wasn't the taina of the Ramban. The Ramban, a mitzvah dalit, didn't shepherd the Rambam, he didn't pick on the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't mention the mitzvah of Hakomas HaMedina, establishing a Jewish Medina. Rambam picked on the Rambam didn't count the second half of the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Maaseh, and the other, Chumash Bamidbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael the Gevulas Ha'aretz, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, then he says, for Harashtam Ha'aretz, the Yishavtem Bo. There's one mitzvah, we should take over all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. We should establish a Jewish government. There should be a Yiddish and Medina in Eretz Yisrael. And secondly, Vishaftimot is a mitzvah on every single Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban picks on the Rambam. The Rambam did count the mitzvah of Hakomas HaMedina. That's not mitzvah says a dalit, what the Ramban is adding on. Mitzvah says a dalit, what he's adding on is that the Rambam never quotes all the dinim from the end of Tzuvah that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam didn't list this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. That it's a mitzvah min haTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That was the Ramban's hashtag on the Rambam. But the mitzvah to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael, everybody's masking to that, I'll be pashtus. So this mitzvah to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael, to have control, the Jewish government should have control of all of Eretz Yisrael. I'll be pashtus, this is unrelated, clearly this is unrelated to the Kedusha Torah. Even in those areas where we know that there never was a Kedusha Shnia, like the Talmud tells us in Yevamos and in many other places, there were many areas in Eretz Yisrael which were endowed with Kedusha Saharit in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and they were never given the Kedusha Shni when Bnei Yisrael returned to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra Nehemiah. They were never in the Kaddish them anew, and the Gemara gives a whole political explanation why they decided to be Nichum. They left them out. The Rabbanim decided B'davka not to be Mekadosh. Gemara says the reason why. Because Shemitah is very, very difficult. Shemitah was always a difficult, it was always a hardship. Go observe Shemitah, you won't have any parnasah for a whole year. So at the beginning of the Bai Sheni, the Chachamim made a political decision not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael, in order that they should be in an area where they'll be able to work in Shnas HaShemitah. Inichum, they left it out on purpose, kedei sheyismuchu aleihem aniyim b'shviyas. The Anim should have what to be supported with. They should be able to get jobs there. Paris will grow and they'll be, and Yamafish Maisa Rani. And the Shnas HaShemitah, Yamafish Maisa. I mean, I tell you not Mafish anything, but the Yamafish Maisa Rani over there. So they had a reason why they left it out. So the Pashtus is that even in those many areas that the Talmud speaks of, that there was no Kedusha Shniyah, those areas that didn't have Kedusha Saharetz, and there may or may not be a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael to live there. But that's where we said the Machlokes Tosfos in the Ritva, in the first mission in Gittin. Tosfos' opinion is that there's no mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael to live there. But the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina, that we should establish a Medina, a Jewish Medina, in control of all of Eretz Yisrael, Harashtim HaZoharet, that mitzvah applies even to those areas that were never in Kaddish B'Kedusha Shniyah. Why not? If you have the ability to. There's a mitzvah to have a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. Now there's another mitzvah in the Torah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to sometimes wage a melchemes mitzvah. It's not from the most pleasant mitzvahs. Like they tell the story that the Satmar Rebbe, the previous Satmar Rebbe, used to visit Eretz Yisrael from time to time. He usually used to go to Eretz Yisrael during election season and to discourage everyone from voting. So on one occasion he felt that it's forbidden to vote. Okay, we'll get to that a little later, why he felt that it's forbidden to vote. So on one occasion, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, they had signs all over, like they always had before elections, signed by the Wall of Rabbanim from the Aguda, that it's a mitzvah to vote Gimel, or whatever, to vote for the Aguda in the election. So he went to the Ger Rebbe at that time, and he confronted him and he said, "Vasa mitzvah, what kind of a mitzvah is this tips? Which one of the mitzvahs in the Torah? Mitzvah like achilas matzah? Am I a mitzvah to vote for the aguda? How can you write in the Kol Kari that it's a mitzvah to vote for the aguda?" So the Ger Rebbe gave a tracht and he said, "It's not exactly like the mitzvah of eating matzah, it's like eating marr." Not all the mitzvahs are such klebedik freilich mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah is like eating hamid tashin and klapit homen and everything. You have sometimes mitzvahs that we're not so thrilled about. So we have a mitzvah of mechiyas hamolek. Are we interested in going mechiyas hamolek? It's a mitzvah in the Torah, we have no brera. So we have a mitzvah in the Torah of melchemes mitzvah. You're obligated to go wage war sometimes, even if you don't want to. That's a melchemes mitzvah. You're mechuyif to go wage war. So what exactly constitutes a melchemes mitzvah? So there's a whole discussion, a whole perek mashuach melchama, and the end of Maseches Sota, the Gemara discusses what constitutes a melchemes or reshus, what constitutes a melchemes mitzvah, but there's one melchemes mitzvah that there's no dispute on. If the Jews have control over Eretz Yisrael, and there is pressure to surrender sovereignty over some of the areas to some foreign government, that everybody agrees that that constitutes a melchemes mitzvah. That l'chol ha'dayim is a melchemes mitzvah. And the Minchas Chinuch points out that this mitzvah, melchemes mitzvah, is self-understood when you wage a war, b'derech ha'teva, people get killed. Your soldiers lose their lives and some of the enemy loses their lives. So who gave us a heter to kill the enemy, mitzicha? And who gave us a heter to put our soldiers' lives into sakana? So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, that's built in, that's self-understood, that whenever there's a mitzvah melchama, it's self-understood, that there's no heter of, you don't say, pikuach nefesh is doicha the mitzvah of melchemes mitzvah, you'll never have the mitzvah melchemes mitzvah. We have a rule, pikuach nefesh, to save the life, a sex fake of saving one person's life, is doicha kolat harakula, is doicha Shabbos and kashrus, is doicha kemat everything, with the three exceptions of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shvichas Dam. But the Minchas Chinuch says you cannot apply Pikuach Nefesh to the mitzvah Melchemes Mitzvah. By definition, that's what the Melchama is all about. People get killed and they kill other people. So it's self-understood that whenever you have an instance where you're obligated to wage war, Melchemes Mitzvah, you can't say, I don't want to go to war, we should not go to war because Pikuach Nefesh to save one Jewish life is derech the mitzvah Melchemes Mitzvah. That's ridiculous. Years ago, I remember one prominent rabbi in the New York area was making a comment jokingly. So he said, well, that's a machlokes between the Galatiana and the Litvakis. The Minchas Chinuch happened to have been a Galatiana. And this speaker, this rabbi, thought that Rabbi Lezer Shach disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch. I don't think Rabbi Lezer Shach disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch. Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik, who was the rabbi of Rabbi Lezer Shach, right? The exact same thing as Rabbi Shach. In a Sefer HaChumash, which he wrote himself, it wasn't written by someone else, in a Sefer HaChumash on the Haftar and Pashas B'Shalach, he comments on the Pasuk in Shiraz Dvorah, where it says, Zvula Namcheref Nafshala Muslim, Naftali Almerome Sodat. They went to battle knowing that they may lose their lives. So he has the exact same comment. And later, before and after and in between, this is a double Pasuk like that. This is not a dispute between the Galatiana and the Litvish. This is the ABC of what Muhammad is all about. When you go to war, everybody knows you're going to lose lives. And nonetheless, that's what it's all about. That's what Melchemes is all about. So we have a Melchemes mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs on the Torah is to wage Melchemes mitzvah. One of the Melchemes mitzvahs is, if you have a Yiddish Medina that has control over areas of Eretz Israel, and there's pressure to surrender sovereignty to the other nations, so we're obligated to go to war and to lose lives, and to lose many lives, in order not to surrender the land to the other nations. The only question, the only issue is, the Chazanish points out in his Sefer at the end of the first Perek in Erevin. Erevin is all about Erevin. Nothing to do about this. But at the end of the first Perek in Erevin, there's a Mishnah, Abod Dvarim Patru Bamachna. A quirk of about one block Gemara about Dinim in the Jewish army. Special Dinim regarding the Jewish army. So the Chazanish has an essay on that last daf in the first Perek in Erevin. So he writes that all of these special halachas of Machna Yisrael only apply if it's an army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The halacha distinguishes between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Umas Olam. Those who remember in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, on the first daf, the first Mishnah, the first Gemara, draws a distinction between Malchus Yisrael as opposed to Malchus Umas Olam. Malchus Yisrael, the years begin from Nisan. Echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'Malchus Yisrael, as opposed to Malchus Umas Olam. Zechet b'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah l'Malchus Umas Olam. And the Ran, in his commentary on the Rif on Daf Aleph, Amaseches Rosh Hashanah points out that you shouldn't think that this is only a conventional minig. That was Nahug Bizman HaTanaim. He says, no, this is halacha. It's learned out from Pesukim in Tanakh. That, and there's a reason I'll be Machshava also, the Netziv in his commentary on Parshas Bo, on the Chumash, on the Pasuk HaChodesh Elohim, talks about it. So the Ran explained that this is a din, that Malchi Yisrael, if it's a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, let's say if we should assume the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchut Beis David. Afilu Naniach that it's true, but she's a queen over Chutzlah, she's not a queen over Eretz Yisrael. If you have a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, that has al pi halacha a special status of Malchus Yisrael. If you have a non-Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, or you have any other government anywhere else in the world, even if you elect an American, even if you elect a Jew to the White House, we'll have an American president in the United States, that's not called Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish writes a davar pashut that the special status of Melchemes Mitzvah and all the dinim of Machna, Bodron Pachom Machna, the dinim of Drabonon, the dinim of Deraisa, the Yositi Luchal Azinecho, and so on, the dinim derais and dinim derabonon of Machne, everything only applies if it's a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a debate that has been going on for the last 50 some odd years after the Hakamas Amdin in Eretz Yisrael. Does the government in Eretz Yisrael have the status of Malchus Yisrael? Or should we assume not? That since so many of them are anti-religious and they were not appointed by a Navi, various explanations, fine, whatever. So maybe it doesn't have the status of Malchus. Maybe it has the status of a government, fine, a government, like the French government, like the American government, like the British government. Maybe it doesn't have the status of Malchus Yisrael. The Pashtus is, like Rav Soloveitchik said many times in his printed drushes, in the Hamesh Drushot that he gave for the Mizrahi, he said that there was a debate among the Rabbanim before 1948 whether we should establish a Medina or not, whether it's right or wrong, the Aguda. Yeah, good in Europe, and Knesset Gedola had a whole debate. Their debate was, are we allowed to establish Medina Yisrael? Because when you establish a Medina, you have to sign on the dotted line that you're giving half of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs and half to the partitioned land. So the Rabbanim and the Aguda had a machlokes, are we allowed to agree to a partitioned land because we're giving away half of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs? The other Rabbanim said, we're not giving anything away. We don't have anything now. The British have control. They're giving us half. So we're starting on a dotted line. Thank you very much. We'll accept the half that you're giving us and the other half. We'll work on that in the future. We'll see what we can do in the future. So that was a debate that they had. They didn't have a debate whether they allowed to establish a Medina. The Minkatcher didn't come to the Knesset Gedola because he knew that they wouldn't listen to him. He was opposed. He was the minority opinion at that time. He was opposed to the whole establishing of a Medina. Okay, that's another story. So the so Rav Soloveitchik said, yes, before 1948 there was a debate whether they should establish a Medina or not. So he felt that the Hashgach Min HaShemayim sometimes passed in the Shaila. Sometimes the Rabbanim passed in the Shaila. Sometimes Min HaShemayim they passed in the Shaila. And the Gemara Yuma had such an expression. Min HaShemayim they showed us that this is the correct way to go. So Rav Soloveitchik said in his drushes, he thought that Min HaShemayim they showed us that the correct way was we were supposed to establish a Medina, and this was a Jewish Medina. Right after the Medina was established in 1948, there's a document that was signed by 150 Rabbanim, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, all the Chassidish Rebbes, everybody signed that document, not only Mizrahi Rabbanim, they all signed that this is Haskalta de Gula. Haskalta de Gula simply means, Gula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Haskalta de Gula means things that Al Pidin are going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And what leads up to the building? What's a Haskala? So the Gemara says, the Gimel Mitzvahs in the Tzavi Yisrael have to be fulfilled in the correct order. First, you establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Next, you have to wipe out Amalek. Next, you have to build a Beis HaMikdash. Not within 30 Nidibur of each other. They'd be stretched out over a long period of time. So they all signed a document at that time that they felt this was Haskalta de Gula, means that this is the Hakamas HaMedina, this is a Jewish Medina, and this is going to lead up, possibly, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pashtus is that the government in Eretz Yisrael, as anti-religious as it is, it's hard to say that it's worse than the Malachim in Tanakh. In the days of Tanakh, they forced all the people to worship Avodah Zarah. They didn't permit them to be Oyla Regel. The government now supports yeshivas a little bit. They have kashrus in the army. Those who want get glatt kosher in the army. I was once there when they were delivering glatt kosher flesh to a soldier. Didn't like the glatt kosher that they gave. He wanted a chassidish shchit. So they had a fellow special. It's hard to say that the Israeli government now is worse than the Malachim in the days of Tanakh. Okay, so that's a machloikas. So those who are of the opinion that the government in Eretz Yisrael, there are those who feel the government in Eretz Yisrael is not a government at all, it's just a bunch of pirates. Okay. It's hard to imagine what the government in Eretz Yisrael is, Garuah, and the Russian government. It's worse than under the communists. The communists, that was a government. The government of the United States, that's the government. The government of Eretz Yisrael is a bunch of pirates. Okay. So they also feel like that. They feel it's a bunch of pirates, no government at all. So they, Lishitos, and they're very consistent. So they won't be paid them Ayish Sheni on Israeli money. Because Allah says, the Shach writes in Yeridin, Hilchus Riddis, paid them Ayish Sheni can only be done on Kesef. You can't use Shavu Kesef. Kesef, the definition of Kesef, is legal tender recognized by a recognized government. If you have pirates running the country, it's not a government, then the money that they mint, the coins that they mint, are not called matbeis. Okay? So then it's only Shavu Kesef. So those that don't recognize the Medina, a very small group, a tiny, tiny percentage of the people living in Eretz Yisrael, so they don't recognize the government at all, they're just a bunch of pirates, so they won't use Israeli coins for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Shem. Fine. Okay. Then you have those that do recognize the government and will use Israeli coins, that's 99.99999% of the population with many, many, many nines, so they all know that it is a government. So among those who recognize the government, not a pirate, so then the question is, does it have the status of Malchus Yisrael, or does it just have the status of Malchus Umasar? So the Pashtus is, you look through Tanakh, the kings in the days of Tanakh were much, much worse than the government in Eretz Yisrael today. So that's why the Pashtus is, they rose. Rove of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael feel that the government in Eretz Yisrael is a Malchus Yisrael. That's why there's so much anti-Semitism. That's why why the Arabs against Eretz Yisrael, why was Russia against Eretz Yisrael? Because it was a Jewish government. It was recognized by all the nations of the world, it's a Jewish government. Everybody knows it's a Jewish government. If you hold that it's not a Jewish government, then the Chazon Ish says that there's nothing to discuss, there's no Mohammed Mitzvah. Mohammed Mitzvah only applies if you have an army, a Jewish army that's sponsored by Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So on the assumption that you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, which is debated, so then you have an army that's sponsored by the Jewish government, so then you have to begin discussing Milchemes Mitzvah. Milchemes Mitzvah, the Minchas Chinuch says, and no one disagrees, it's not shy to disagree, Milchemes Mitzvah, one is obligated to fight, even if it means that you're going to lose a lot of lives. However, it's a davar pashut that there is no Milchemes Mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. When you go on a tour in Eretz Yisrael, and they take you to Masada, so the tour guide will always tell you that these people on Masada who refused to surrender to the enemy, they fought till they lost every last life, because they didn't want to surrender. This was Shalom B'tam Chacham. This was against the opinion of the rabbis. The rabbis felt if you lost the war already, then you surrender. There's no mitzvah to double push it. There's no mitzvah to fight a losing war. The mitzvah to fight is if you know in advance that you're going to win. Can know 100%? If it's Karav Levada that you're going to win, then you're mechuyev to fight, even though you're going to lose many, many lives, provided that you know that you're going to win. So this has to be assessed by people in this area. Of course it can't be assessed by Tamei Chacham sitting and have their noses in the Gemara. You have to have people who are behaving with what's going on in the world. They have to know whether we're winning, do we stand a chance, do we stand a very good chance, is it Karav Levada that we're going to win the war, or is there a suffix? If there's a suffix, then there's no mitzvah to go fight and to lose lives. The only question is, what if you have a very iffy situation? It's very questionable. We can succeed in maintaining all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, but every year we'll lose a lot of lives. So the question is that considered winning the war? Is that considered losing the war? Some people say, we're losing the war. What good is it that we maintain control of all of Eretz Yisrael, including Gush Katif, but we're losing lives every year? Now the people are very proud about that, no? That's considered we're winning the war. So who is right? Is that considered winning the war or losing the war? So that's a very serious question. But the Pashtus is that you have to understand this din of the Minchas Chinuch. Why should it be so? No one disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch. It's not shaykh to disagree. War by definition means that people are going to get killed. What are you going to say? You only have a mitzvah to go to war. If you have haftochah from Urim Tumim, then no one's going to get killed. That never happened. They always went to war, they always lost lives. In rare occasions, there were nisim in the floor that none of the Jewish soldiers lost their lives. There's the Yeshua ben Nun and so on, but early on already they started losing lives in the war. So why did Yeshua ben Nun go to Muhammad against Dai if they lost lives? You should have not gone to war. So the answer is that they were partially like the Minchas Chinuch said. The Mohammed Mitzvah, you're obligated to go and fight. Even if you know in advance, you're going to lose lives. So the Shai is Daftaka Fashtem, why should that be so? So the Pashtus is just to give a mashal to understand it The pashtus is like this. Let's say chalila, one is sick, a person is sick, and he develops gangrene in one of his limbs. So the doctor says, let's cut off the limb in order to save the person's life. So it's a double pashtus. You cut off the limb in order to save the person's life. So the same over here. Klal Yisrael, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, constitutes Klal Yisrael. We just spoke before Purim about the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalad and Manalev. The Gemara distinguishes between a Nesha Eretz Yisrael and a Nesha B'chutz L'Aretz, and we discussed at length in Minchas Chinuch's interpretation of that Gemara that that Klal Yisrael Shebchutz L'Aretz are considered Yichidim Domos. That's what he quotes the Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Tainus. Klal Yisrael, who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. So the pashtus is that if you have Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, the more Eretz Yisrael you have, so it's considered more of a chiyus for the Klal Yisrael. The less of Eretz Yisrael you have under Jewish control is considered less of a chiyus for this body that's called the Klal Yisrael. So in order to maintain more of a chiyus for the whole organism, for the whole body of Klal Yisrael, we're obligated, unfortunately, sometimes to cut off limbs. So sometimes you have to cause the death of individual people here and there, individual soldiers, in order, like cutting off the gangrenous limb in order to save the whole organism, in order to save the whole body. So that's how the pashtus to understand the Erech Mashal. Why is there such a din? Why is there a din yidimuchif to go? What's such a halig and mitzvah to go to war? It's a mitzvah that rubs us the wrong way. No one's interested in going to war. So why such a seriousness? You're obligated to go to war even though you know that you're going to lose many, many lives. The answer is because this kind of a Mohammed mitzvah to maintain Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control means that you're maintaining Klal Yisrael alive. So you have to maintain the chiyus of Klal Yisrael even at the expense of losing lives of the individual members. That's like the marshal of amputating limbs that are gangrenous in order to save the organism. So sometimes you have a situation where the medical report is very iffy. They're not sure whether this will be good for the patient, bad for the patient. He'll lose his hair, he'll lose his hearing, he won't be able to walk, but he'll be alive, he'll be conscious half the time, won't be conscious half the time. So how do you determine in such a case whether you're really saving the person's life or it's detrimental to him? How do you decide whether it's l'tayvasa or l'ra'asa? So the Gemara learns out in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara learns out in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah. We started from Daf Chavtes, before Daf Chavtes. So the morning Avodah Zarah learns that from the Haftarah Parshas Mitzorah. Next week's Haftarah. Abon Hashem Hoyim Mitzorah and Pesach Shav Shomron. And they couldn't figure out what should they do. They were going to die from starvation. If they'll surrender to the enemy, they may shoot them on sight, they may kill them right away. And they may take them prisoners of war and they'll give them food. But if they're going to stay here, they're going to die within a couple of days. If they'll surrender to the enemy, they may die sooner than a couple of days. And they may extend their life even further. So the Gemara learns that from that parsha that it's up to the person whose life is bisakana to make this decision, whether it pays or it doesn't pay. And the same alpidin seems to be benegia to the situation where the whole outcome is very iffy. Yeah, they'll give chemotherapy and he'll probably live a couple of months longer, but he'll lose his hearing, lose this, lose that. So is it worth it to extend the life of the patient or not? So you can tell from today to next year that Allah seems to be, that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that's how before Rav Moshe, that's the classical psak. It has to be determined by the patient. It's not an issue that can be determined by someone else. How do you know what to decide? You can have two patients in the same room. One can be the Godel Ador, the one who passes all the shaylas and all the Abra Chalka Shulchanot, the other one a plain balabos. And they have the same sickness, and the Godel Ador will decide one way, and the Balabas has the right to decide the other way. He has his cheshbon. It's not a shayla, it's not a halachic shayla, that there's a psak halacha, and the psak halacha says it's up to the chayla to decide whether he feels that it's l'tevosai, or he feels that it's l'ra'osai. Sometimes we say, Rav Moshe Feinstein has it, sometimes we say on one extreme or the other, that the chayla is picking such a ridiculous choice, that's absolutely nonsense. The Magen Avraham quotes a Radvaz. Let's say a person is 20 years old and he has a gangrene in one of his limbs and they want to amputate the limb and they'll give him a plastic limb and he'll live another 100 years. He can live to the age of 120. And he says, no, he'd rather die at the age of 20 from the gangrene rather than live with a plastic limb. They're pleading, the doctor's pleading with him. What are you talking about now, Reina? We've done it hundreds of times, thousands of times. We know how it's, everything is under control. You don't have to worry. So the Radvaz, quoted by the Magen Avraham, says, Allah HaMaisa, we don't listen to the patient that he says, don't amputate my limb. He says we do the surgery bal karchot because he's saying a ridiculous thing. He's choosing a ridiculous choice. Or a Moshe Feinstein has in the other direction. Let's say a person is so sick and he's suffering so much, and Bederech HaTeva is going to die. And he says, no, don't let me die. Extend my life. Keep on extending my life. What are you going to extend his life? He's going to suffer longer. So Moshe Feinstein says, you're not allowed to listen to him. It's an avera to extend his life. What's the avera? It's an avera to extend his life. He says, yeah, it's an avera. You mitzayer him. It's like chayvul b'chaver. You're causing the patient more pain. You have to let him die. I, but his choice was he wants to live on. He quotes a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara has lashon tunevelu d'nakidlei. The person has a mishagas in his head. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So sometimes we say the person is saying mishagas in the one direction that he says, I want to die at the age of 20. Sometimes we say he's saying mishagas, he says, I want to live on another couple of years. What do you live on? To suffer more. It's ridiculous. But if he says something reasonable within the middle, so that's up to each chayla to determine, and it's up to the family to determine what the chayla wanted. Not that the family should decide that they shouldn't have any guilty feelings later on, we didn't try everything for pa, and this and that and the other thing. They have to make the decision based on what they know the chayla would have wanted. So over here also, the pashtus is that if this is the understanding of this halacha, that one is obligated to wage war to go melchemes mitzvah, even though you know you're going to lose a lot of Jewish lives, you're obligated to go to war in order to maintain all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. But the mitzvah of Milcham only applies when you know it ends. You're going to win the war. So the Shabbos, are we so sure we're winning the war? Maybe we're losing the war. The fact that we maintain control over all of Eretz Yisrael, but we're losing lives all the time. And the quality of life is so miserable, people lead a miserable life in Eretz Yisrael. So some hold that considered losing the war. So this is a question. This is a question, are we winning or are we losing? So the pashtus is, the decision should be made by the Klal Yisrael, because we're discussing the Pikuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. The reason why we have to be mevater on the lives of Yechidim is in order to save the Klal Yisrael, like you do an amputation on a limb in order to save the whole organism. So here also, the decision has to be made by Klal Yisrael. So if we would have had a Sanhedrin Gedolah, or we would have had a Gadol Ador, one person that everybody recognizes, or a group of people who would be recognized by everyone. The Gemara has a concept in the end of Brachas of Lo Hiniach Kemoisa Beretz Yisrael. If there's a person who's recognized, Rabbi Akiva, when he went to Chutz Lortz, had the ability to be Ma'abe Shonim in Chutz Lortz, even though it's possibly done in Eretz Yisrael, because he was the recognized Gadol Ador. So if you have a person who is recognized, or a group of people who are recognized as the Gadol Ador, so the decisions that they make represent all of Klal Yisrael. That's why they can do the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah Chutz Lortz. Unfortunately, we don't have such a situation. Every group holds, the Lubavitch Chassidim hold that their Rebbe is a Gadol Ador, the Sapir Chassidim hold their Rebbe is a Gadol Ador, the Babel Chassidim hold that their Rebbe, each group, every yeshiva, they hold that their Rebbe is a Gadol Ador. So we have no consensus. We have none. So you're back to square one. So how do you decide whether we're winning the war or losing the war? So the pashtus is that it should be determined by the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, by the Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are considered Ki Yechidim Dom. The decision should be made by the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, but only those Jews who are considered part of Klal Yisrael. There are many Jews who are Jewish. You can't use them. You can't sell your chametz to them. You can't use them as a Shabbos goy, but unfortunately they're not part of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam in the end of Sanhedrin, when he lists off the Yud Gimel Ikari HaAmunas, he says whoever doesn't subscribe to the Ikari HaAmunas is not a member of Klal Yisrael. So you have to ask those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael who subscribe to the Ikari HaAmunas whether they think we're winning the war or losing the war. It's not a question, are they prepared to do a favor to the Arabs, to do a favor to give away. It's not a question of doing a favor. They're not entitled to give away to the Arabs. In the newspapers, they keep on quoting in America, they keep on quoting this thinker in Eretz Yisrael, a non-religious, anti-religious thinker, Amos Oz. So he says, what's the whole discussion already? The whole thing's over. Real estate, so give them already the real estate in front. It's not a question of real estate. It's not an issue of dinim ominous. That's why many people make a mistake. They think, well, the Israeli government said we should give it away. So Dina Machus Dina. Dina Machus only applies in Dina Mominus. It doesn't apply in Issa the Hefer. If the government will say you can give a civil divorce and you don't need a get, so you're going to say Dina Machus Dina. That's ridiculous. The government will say they get married by the justice of the peace. So that Kiddush, and the government says you're allowed to keep your shop open on Shabbos. Dina Machus only applies in Dina Mominus. Eretz Yisrael belonging to the Jews, and not to the Jews, is one of the mitzvahs that belongs in the area of Issa the Heter. That's not the area of Dinim Mominus. There's the Rambam quotes the Shitas HaGaonim. The Rambam in Hilchas Chiyah Matana quotes, and Rambam Hilchas Gerushin quotes the opinion of the Gaonim, that when you formulate a Tanai, you make Kiddushin ala Tanai, give a get ala Tanai, sell a house ala Tanai. Many times you can make a Tanai. So the Rambam quotes the opinion of the Gaonim that Tanai only requires Mishpatei HaTzeraim, has to be Tanai Kofel, Lehen Kodim Lab, Tanai Kodim Lamaisa, only applies in the area of Yisabahet, it doesn't apply in the area of Din Mamun. So the Rambam doesn't accept that opinion, he thinks that it's not correct, and he argues that the original parsha of Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvin was on Didim Amunis. So how can you say Didim Amunis doesn't need Mishpatei HaTanayim? All the laws of Mishpatei HaTanayim are derived from parshas B'nei God B'nei Ruvin. So the Raivi defends the Shita Sagayim. So he says, what are you talking? Chalukah Seretz Yisrael, is Yisrael Behetah? That's not Didim Amunis. It's not a matter of real estate, like Amoso said. Didim Machlusa doesn't apply. It's not an issue of Didim Amunis. It's an issue of Yisrael Behetah. So the poll has to be taken if you're going to take a vote among the members of the Klal Yisrael to see which direction does the rov hold. The rov of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael and those who subscribe to the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamuna, and then they're only given two choices on the vote. Whether they feel that we're winning the war or losing the war, is it worth it to keep on fighting to maintain all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control? Or is it not worth it? Not a question, would you think it's a nice idea to give the Arabs a little matana? You're not entitled to give the Arabs a matana. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Morasha. It's not a Yerusha. Yerusha means, once I get the Yerusha, I can do whatever I want. I can gamble all the money away on the horse races. I can give it away, I can burn the money. Morasha means the heritage. You get it, you're obligated to transmit it to the next generation. It's not Didim Amunis. Eretz Yisrael is Issa Behetah. So this issue as to whether Gush Katif is clearly part of Eretz Yisrael. Most likely it doesn't have Kedushas Haaretz. That's the first mission in Gittin. That's from Ashkelon and below. Was never in doubt with Kedushas Shnius. It may quite well be that that part of Eretz Yisrael does not have Kedushas Haaretz, but it's still part of Eretz Yisrael and the Gvulas Haaretz. Right now it's under Jewish control of the government, and if one should assume that this is a Jewish government, which is the Pashtus, it's not a Malchus Umisraela, it's a Malchus Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashtus is that we're obligated to fight Melchemes Mitzvah to maintain all of these areas under Jewish control. The other question is, are we assured that we're going to win the war? Is this considered winning the war or losing the war? So that's taka and iffy question. So you have to take a poll of all of those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael who subscribe to the Yud Gimel Ikor HaMuna. What does the majority feel? Now, if it should turn out that the majority feel that it's worth it, that we're winning the war, then we're mechuyev to go fight such a war. If the government should tell the soldiers that we should not fight the war, we should give away this area to the Arabs. So the halacha says the soldiers are not permitted to listen to the generals. The Gemara says that klal. It's not something that Rabbanim in our generation invented. Rabbi Neria and Rabbi Gorin and Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook, they didn't invent this. They quoted the Gemara says and said, and like that. We're not, the soldiers in the army are not permitted to listen to the government orders or to the general's orders if they tell them to violate one of the Dina HaTorah. So if we should establish that this is a Mohammed mitzvah, one who you have to fight, so those who don't want to fight are the deserters, not that those who do want to fight are the deserters. Those who refuse to fight are the deserters, they're running away from the battle, but not that we relish wars. It's a mitzvah worse than murder. It's a mitzvah that many people are going to lose lives if you keep on fighting. But that's the halacha. The halacha requires that you have to fight. Of course, if you're faced with a situation that refusing to participate in the disengagement plan, if the situation would be such that all of the religious soldiers in the army will listen to the Rabbanim and refuse to participate in the disengagement, and this will cause the whole Medina itself to fall into a sakana, because the other surrounding nations will realize that the army is not strong, that all the Rabbanim could pull strings this direction, that direction, and then they'll be able to attack Medina. Of course, that's a double pashut. If refusing to listen to orders will cause a sakana to the whole yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, suppose you know that refuse. So pikuach nefesh is more important than everything. We're talking about saving the whole Medina, saving the whole Klal Yisrael. So that has to be determined also, whether Sirif Kuda will cause the whole army to collapse and will cause the whole country to be totally insecure or not. That has to be established. In the newspapers now, they're writing about exactly what the government is planning to do. So the way they write it up in the paper, the government is planning to force all of the people who live in this area to move out of their homes and leave the homes there and give the homes away to the Arabs. But the government doesn't want to give the Bate Knesset, the Bate Midrashes, to the Arabs. They're afraid they're going to defile it. So what are they going to do? So they're going to bomb the shuls. The Jewish army is going to destroy the shul. This is an interesting question in halacha. El Migdashi Tiro, there is a din of Meira HaMigdash that applies, the original mitzvah applies to the Beis HaMigdash. Beis HaKnesses is not a Beis HaMigdash, but it's referred to by the Novi Yecheskel as HaMigdash Miyat. When Yecheskel HaNovi said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Bnei Yisrael, is going to send them into Golos and is going to destroy the Beis HaMigdash, he said, I'll have a miniature Beis HaMigdash in Bavel. So the Gemara says in the Adam Megillah, that's a reference to all about the Knesses Ubatim Midrash and Shebe Bavel. So it's only a Migdash Miyat, so you don't have the full din of Moira HaMigdash and the Beis HaKnesses. We call it Kovet Beis HaKnesses. Moira and Beis HaMigdash is more serious, and Kovet is a little less serious. But there is a din. The Rambam and the Yireim hold that the din of Kovet Beis HaKnesses is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Some say that the whole Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is only with the Rabbanon. Whatever, whether it's a din min HaTorah, din min Rabbanon, on the books, there is such a din. There are dinim in Shulchan Aruch. So here is an interesting issue. We have the Bati Knesses will be defiled, so we have a choice: either we should bomb the Beis HaKnesses or we should let the Nochrim defile the Beis HaKnesses. So usually, if you have a choice of both choices are miserable. If you're faced with a dilemma where both choices, all the alternatives are awful, so then the Gemara says you have to be Bocha b'miotara, you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So which is the lesser of the two evils? So very often the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Kufam and Aleph, we say that Shedi Al Tasa Odev. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Zvachim, where you have two karbonas were offered on the Mizbeach. Two karbonas were gishochten. One is the karbon Shlomim that needs two zrikas, and one is the karbon Meiser that only needs one zrika. And the dam got mixed up. The dam of the two karbonas got mixed up. So if you're going to do two zrikas on all the dam, you'll be in violation of Baal Taisiv. On the one dam, it's only supposed to have one zrika. If you'll do one zrika, it'll be in violation of Baal Tigra. So it's a machlek is hatanayim in the Mishnah Zvach, and machlek is ablezer Bishop, what should you do? So on the one hand, one consideration is that Shevi Altasa Arif, to violate the Aver B'Shevi Altasa is better. Why should we bomb the shul? That the Rochem be mevaz of the shul. On the other hand, this Dhamma where the government is concerned about the Gdush's Beis HaKnesses, obviously, so they feel that the Nochrim being mevazeh the Beis HaKnesses will be a bigger bizayon than if we bomb the Beis HaKnesses. So sometimes the halacha says in that sugya in Erev and Daf Kuf, this Shevi Al Tasa Arif is not always the answer. That's one of the considerations. Sometimes we say that to do an aver the kumbi yaseh is the lesser of the two evils if we can foresee that the aver that we won't be doing the kumbi yaseh, the Arabs will do it, will be a greater aver. So this is taka an interesting question la halacha. If the halacha requires that they should taka go through with the disengagement, how should they deal with the issue of the Kovet Beis HaKnesses? Is it preferable that we should bomb the shul? That here the kumbi yaseh aver is the lesser of the two evils? Or should we say no? It's not that far apart. Maybe we should choose as the lesser of the two evils the Shevi Al Tasa Odev. These are the highlights of the issues involved in Eretz Yisrael. Without expressing my personal opinion on the matter. Thank you very much.